Amen. I hope everybody's bound for that city. And if you are, that's great. If you ain't, you're going to the wrong place. I'm glad you're here tonight. I hope you remember that our camp meeting's right on us. We need to get to praying and really get in for the Lord's glory. Help people that's going to be coming. And help us that's already here. The ushers, come on, we receive the offering, and you give what you can. Our offering has been down for a while, and we're going to have to get some money here to keep this camp meeting from sinking. And you pray about it. Brother Sam, you pray for us.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Here, and that our Father, you want to be here with us. Our Father, amen. Lord God, to help us, we need you. Lord God, whatever time we're living in, Lord, we need that grace, and
yes,
that peace,
amen.
And that joy. Our Father, which comes from heaven, glory. Lord, it's not in the world.
Amen.
Jesus said, in me you'll have peace.
Yeah,
in the
amen.
World you'll have tribulation. Our Father, Lord God, but he said to be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Boy, that's all where it's at, it's in Jesus. He's done it all.
Amen.
All he's done everything. We've not done nothing. Lord God, and I just want to come and thank you tonight for the church
of
heaven, God. Been purchased and bought by the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Lord God, and I pray for each one here tonight. Lord, you know every need. We look on the out of the Spirit, but you look at the heart. You know every heart tonight. You know every valley and storm. And I'm glad, our Father, tonight you're able to take care of it. Lord God, you can bring peace in the midst of the storm. And our Father, Lord God, we need you, dear God, tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
Pride, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness.
Amen.
According to thy tender mercy. I'm glad you're kind. I'm glad your mercy is good tonight.
Amen.
And our Father, I just pray tonight to touch the singing. And our Father, we thank
you,
Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, our Father, for all that's sick, you shut in tonight and pray for those that's lost a loved one. Lord, I know your grace is sufficient. Lord, I just do tonight and have your way. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. all try.
Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings. Took me under his wing.
Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor,
with a heavenly home, my holy Father has made me his own, and I'm cleansed by his blood, and I'm clothed in his love, and someday I'll see with the angels above.
Oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor,
Ask the rest of you. Do you love him?
Amen.
I mean, really.
Amen.
I'm serious. You know, sometimes we talk like it. We act like it. Sometimes. Lord, we ought to love him. You know? And I appreciate these children. I appreciate Diane taking time with them. They may, you say, well, they're going to be the church of tomorrow. There may not be no church tomorrow. There may not be no church in the future, but there's one tonight. And we need to let God take over. And Lord God, if these young folks could see what I'm talking about, you see, you can't see it, and I know you can't, and there's no use of me up here talking to you about it, because you've got your mind on this world. 99% of you. I mean, you're lovers of the world. You're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And Lord, I wish I hadn't said that. I just got a letter while I'm going to open it up. 3 pages. Folks are wanting us to come to ball game, some church, Joy Church or something, up in Chill High, Baptist, wanting us to come and play ball or come and watch them play ball or whatever they're going to do, $9, and so much. I thought, Lord God, I mean, I wish I hadn't opened it up and wish I hadn't even thought of it.
Amen.
But maybe I ought to think of it. Anybody that would get their mind off of the Lord Jesus and what he'd done for us and think about sports and having a good time in this world and going to hell right out of the church pews. I mean right out of the church pew, going to hell as fast as you can go. And thinking, boy, that's wonderful. We're having a good time. We got the young folks in. No, you ain't got them in. You might have got them to the house, but you ain't got them in.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church.
Amen.
Might as well just go ahead.
Amen.
Upon this rock I'll build my church.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus did say he's going to build one.
Amen.
And he ain't going to build it out of folks playing ball.
Amen.
Playing pool. Bowling, skating, skiing. He ain't going to build no church out of that kind of crowd. I mean, he ain't. I wasn't going to preach, but anyway, since it's on my mind, I better just go ahead. I mean, over here in Matthew said, Jesus said to Simon Peter, in Matthew chapter 16, and I'll begin reading it probably at verse 17. Well, maybe I'll read verse 13. I'll get it in a minute. It's right here. Chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. Now here's what Jesus said. It costs something to have a church. Are you listening? And I want to tell you something else about the church. It's not a universal thing.
Amen.
Yet it may be a universal thing, but it's not. The kind that Jesus is talking about here
Amen. Is
not a universal church.
Amen.
It's not like the Catholic Church says it is. It's not like some of these charismatics say it is.
Amen.
And by the way, let me say this while I'm on it and while I'm getting to it. I mean, let me say this, and I want you to hear me good and loud and clear.
Amen.
Jesus don't have any ministries outside of the church.
Amen.
I mean, anything that's a ministry that God don't have a church behind it, local, I'm talking about local church.
Amen.
And you say, well, there is no church. Well, they're all local.
Amen.
I mean, this, all them churches in Revelation over there. This in Revelation, they, in the book of Revelation, they was in Asia, they're in Turkey, they're local. They were.
Amen.
At Ephesus, all them places that God mentioned, all of the churches in the Bible, Paul wrote to the churches. He didn't write to the universal church.
Amen.
He wrote to the church at Ephesus. Amen. He wrote to the church Philippi. He wrote to the church at other places, man, just kept on writing about the churches. And I want to tell you something. All of this ministry. Great God, everybody in the country's got a ministry now. I mean, they say, it's our ministry. It ain't your ministry. You don't even have one. You just got to lie. I mean, it's all a fake. Jesus never done nothing. He never built nothing but a church.
Amen.
That's all he ever built. He never built a tabernacle. He never built a temple. He never built a ministry. He never built nothing but a church. And that's what he said he's going to build. I'm going to read it to you. Well, some of it look like I don't for sure go along with you. I don't care where you do or not. That's it. Matthew 16, Jesus said, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. Now, they're just about like we are in this day. Do you know that there's very few people that knows who Jesus is?
Amen.
Very few people that's ever found out who Jesus is. I mean, they wouldn't know him from John the Baptist or Elijah or some of the rest of the fellows. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
They're sitting in churches all over America tonight, have no idea who Jesus is, have no idea if they met him on the Jericho Road. They wouldn't know him, but that's him. If you meet a stranger,
Amen.
And he is a stranger to most people.
Amen.
Do you know that Jesus Christ is a stranger to most of this outfit today
Amen.
In this world?
Amen.
They've never been introduced to him.
Amen.
Now, Jesus asked this fellow a question for this reason. And he said unto him, or unto them, whom do ye say that I am? Listen to the answer. Verse 16, Simon Peter answering and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
That's who Jesus is.
Amen.
He's the Christ. He's the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Now the devil wants to deny that.
Amen.
NIV Bibles and all the rest of them perverted scriptures, Bibles, are lying about who Jesus is.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
Now, listen, how did he find this out? Jesus said in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's who reveals Jesus to you. And you'll never know him till the Holy Ghost comes by, sent by the Father. Because that's who Jesus said he's going to pray, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. Amen. And when he's come, he'll lead you and guide you into all truths.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost has never introduced you to God's Son, the Lord Jesus, you're going to hell.
Amen.
I mean, there ain't no way out.
Amen.
You may be a preacher, but that still don't have anything to do with it. You may be a theologian. That still don't have anything to do with it. If the Holy Ghost has never revealed Jesus to you, you're lost and on your way to hell. He's the only one can tell you who Jesus is. Well, you say, just read the Bible. No, that don't help it. Might help it, but it don't show you. I mean, you can read the Bible, you still don't know who Jesus is. Them fellas had heard, they'd read. Them fellas wasn't no ignoramuses. They said they was. They perceived that there's ignorant and unlearned, but bless God, they knew who Jesus was.
Amen.
I'd rather not be able to say my ABCs and know Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, I'd rather be able to know Jesus than to know anything that the world's got today.
Amen.
And yet, they said, Peter and John is ignorant and unlearned. Well, he's pretty smart when it comes to knowing who Jesus was. I mean, listen, all these smart dudes that wrote all these Bibles and lied about who Jesus is, the only reason they've lied about it, they don't know who he is.
Amen.
They've never met him.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost has never done nothing for him. They've never run upon the one on the Jericho Road. They know nothing about what these youngins are singing about a while ago. If you meet a stranger on the Jericho Road, that's him. And he is a stranger till the Holy Ghost introduces you. I mean, I don't care who you are. The Holy Ghost has to do it. And you don't get it by saying a little prayer after me or shaking a hand. If you're a repeat, you're going to hell.
Amen.
If the only thing you've ever done is repeated a prayer after some poor preacher on the TV or the radio or some church, and that's what they do now, they say, repeat after me.
Amen.
Back 60 years ago, I got saved. They didn't have no repeaters.
Amen.
They just said, pray.
Amen.
God, help, pray. Well, I prayed. I mean, God help, I just kept praying. And they just kept saying, pray. And sometimes they'd leave them on the mourner's bank for 2 weeks. They'd say, well, you didn't get through. Come back.
Amen.
You say, would they come back? Sure they would.
Amen.
If you ever get a man in a conviction, Holy Ghost conviction, I'm talking about, your time kind. Bless God, he'll be back. You can't keep him out of him.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost ever comes by, showed him he's a lost duck going to hell, he'll be back.
Amen.
It'd bring him back. Boy, I mean, he'd come back quicker to give the invitation. He'd be on that bench again or down on them knees again. They'd pray with him another night, set him down on the seat, send him back home. After a while, I mean, he'd pray and cry, and that while Holy Ghost would nudge him and say, trust him.
Amen.
Trust him.
Amen.
And all at once, he'd just throw everybody off away from him and start shouting the praises of God.
Amen.
And you couldn't keep him out of church.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, you couldn't turn him out. If you did, he'd come back.
Amen.
I mean, we turned him out every month. We had a meeting every month to turn folks out of the church, had a business meeting, caught somebody doing something. Now, we thought we was helping them. I don't know if that is right or wrong. I don't know how you do it for sure. I've never done that, but I watched them do it. They enjoyed it. And boy, you'd turn them out, and 1 month, and the next month or two, at least not longer than 2 months, they'd be back. And they'd get up and say, I want to make my acknowledgement. I have sinned against God and the church. And I'm sorry, and I want to get back in the church. And the same old deacon that turned him out would say, I make a move. We receive him back in. And they took him back. Now, that didn't get him out of the body of Christ. That just got him out of the local fellowship because they just didn't want to put her up with a lot of stuff that most of us do today. But you know what's the reason we don't do that? You turn one out now, bless God, he's gone. I mean, it'd take 40 greyhounds to catch him. He'd never come back. I mean, you couldn't find him nowhere. He'd say, Lord, look what they've done to me. Well, look what you've done to Jesus. Look what we've done to the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood. I mean, look what you've done when you get out here and act a fool and sin and show yourself and the world knows you belong to that church. You ought to not bring a reproach on the Lord. Amen. Now I'm going to hurry on and I'll get to my text after a while. But I say unto thee. Now he said, flesh and blood is not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now they say Peter was a little rock. Well, he might have been. But he said, I'm going to take rocks like you, Peter, that knows God. And I'm going to build my church out of those that have come to find out who Jesus is. Because the Holy Ghost let him know. The Holy Ghost told him who Jesus was. Some of you are looking so wild-eyed at me. You're thinking, well, he ain't never done it to me. And I thought that. I was thinking that all the time. You was thinking, he ain't never done it. I was thinking the same thing. He ain't never done it. I mean, you've been going to church. You come to church. But the Holy Ghost has never told you nothing about who Jesus is. And you wind up going to hell. Because you're so interested in other things. Holy Ghost knows there ain't no use fooling with you. You're not interested in getting saved.
Amen.
Because the first thing wrong with you, you ain't lost yet.
Amen.
Boy, you got to get lost before you get saved.
Amen.
I mean plumb lost. Completely lost.
Amen.
Not feel bad, but feel awful.
Yeah,
horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible about your condition.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Now, don't you know that he didn't need us to help him?
Amen.
He said, I'm going to build my church.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't say, I'm going to build a ministry. He said, I'm going to build a church.
Amen.
He didn't say, I'm going to build some cathedral out yonder. I'm going to build a church.
Amen.
I'm not going to build a building. I'm going to build a church.
Amen.
I'm going to build it out of stones. Lively stones.
Amen.
Stones that's been made alive.
Yeah.
Stones that's been saved by the grace of God. That's the one, that's where I'm going to build it. Going to get me a bunch of stones. I mean, I'm going to get stones. Peter, if he was a stone, that's what the Lord said. Because the Bible said that he's built, we're built upon, I mean, we're built of lively stones.
Amen.
That's what it is. Jesus, the chief cornerstone. He said, this foundation, I'm going to build on this. You're building the church on him. He's building it on himself. But it's taking all these little stones, putting them together. Hard, stony people. And making them what he wants them to be.
Amen.
Now let me hurry on. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Now let me stop right here and go back to the church. And I mean preachers out here saying, you know, I don't believe in the church. And one said to me the other day, he said, you know, it doesn't matter. It don't really matter. I mean, he said, I think we just need to drop the name, Baptist. And everybody get together, no matter what you believe. He said, you know, that Baptist is just a name. I said, probably is, but it's pretty good. Because I said, I blowed his whistle. I shook him up. I said, you know what? It's a strange thing that God, and I said, now, it's strange that God didn't know what he was doing when he got John the Baptist. Now, John was a Baptist. John the Baptist.
Amen.
That wasn't his name. His name was John.
Amen.
And he got him to baptize Jesus.
Amen.
Now, you know, if you get baptized by Methodist, you're a Methodist. If you get sprinkled by Methodist or baptized, whichever. Or a Lutheran, you're a Lutheran. If you get baptized by Catholic, you're Catholic. Right?
Right.
You identify. That identifies you with who you're with.
Amen.
Then you get baptized by Baptist, and that must make you a Baptist. That's the way I think it is. That's the way I got in. How could I get in any other? So I said, you know what? God must have liked the Baptist. Because he got a Baptist preacher to baptize his son.
Amen.
I like it.
Amen.
And I said the Holy Ghost must have liked Baptist because he come from heaven and ascended on Jesus when he was baptized. And then I said, God must have liked the Baptist because he said, this is my beloved son. He's identified himself with old John the Baptist.
Amen.
I like him. He's my son. I'm well pleased with him. And that fellow said, well, I never thought of that. At least a lot of them hadn't thought of it. And the only reason this bunch of peckerwoods is dropping the name Baptist and they're going out there, they're hanking up with somebody that's denying the Lord. They don't want to be identified to nothing. If you don't want to listen, that'd be like me going to the army and not putting on the right uniform and just get me one piece of a German uniform and another piece of American uniform and another piece of a Jap uniform and a Chinese hat and going out here and looking like them and getting my eyes fixed so you wouldn't know whether I'm Chinese or what. That's about like this outfit is. They don't know who they are and they don't know anybody else to know who they are. I want you to know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. My sins are completely gone. I'm saved forevermore and I'm a Baptist by a birth. I mean, I got born again in a Baptist church under a Baptist preacher, baptized by a Baptist, and whatever you think I am, I can care less.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Of course, now you know, that's just outwardly stuff. I know that. But great God, he built an outward church. He built a church where you could see. Did he not? If you don't believe that, he said, now, little father over here, he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, the Catholics say, they tell me, that Peter got them keys and they crucified him upside down and they dropped out of his pocket. I didn't even know the man had a pocket.
Amen.
All the times I've ever seen him, they wore robes.
Amen.
And I didn't know he had the key in his pocket. Said the Pope got it, and he got the key to the kingdom. Ain't that pitiful?
Amen.
Ain't it pitiful?
Amen.
I mean, it's sickly.
Amen.
But everybody said, boy, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, I know. I know it's about the sickest thing we got in the world.
Amen.
Is that bunch that says that Jesus Christ. Well, you got help. Now they're trying to get Mary elevated to where she can help Jesus.
Amen.
Forgive you of your sins. Hey, let me tell you something, honey.
Amen.
Jesus didn't have to have nobody help him.
Amen.
I mean, he didn't have to have a soul. He paid for my sins by himself. Bible said he bore our sins in his body on the tree.
Yeah.
I mean by himself. He didn't have to have nobody. And honey, he don't have to have Mary. He don't have to have John the Baptist. He don't have to have none of the rest of them. He's in there himself. He don't have to have some pope. He don't have to have somebody. He's up there sitting on the right hand of God to make an intercession. And the blood's there to take care of my sins. And they're gone. And I'm glad I'm saved. But I'm glad I'm in a local church. I mean, I'm glad that we've got ministries. Yeah, we got them. I mean, we've got about, I guess, somewhere, if all the records is right, over Over 90 churches come out of this little church here. They're churches.
Amen.
40-some in Bulgaria, 40-some in India, and 10 or more up in Romania, and 4 or 5 over in the Ukraine. And do you know? I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And all these little churches got out of here. I mean, we got a ministry. But listen, the church is still ahead of it.
Amen.
I mean, you don't go, you don't bypass the church and get you a ministry.
Amen.
I mean, I've got 4 children's homes. All of them is an arm of this church, a ministry of this church. All the mission work is a ministry of this church. It's a local assembly. We're here and they're there, and God's a blessing. And we don't have to have nobody. Oh, Lord, they're getting saved and getting healed, and Benny Hinn don't even know we're living.
Amen.
Ain't that something?
Amen.
I mean, he don't even know we're existing. And he hadn't healed all them folks that God's a healing.
Amen.
And a blessing all them folks that God's a blessing.
Amen.
And a putting clothes on them folks that God's a clothing.
Amen.
And shoes on the feet of God's. I mean, most of that outfit in that ministry will take your shoes off of you instead of putting your shoes on you. Ricky called me. Ricky talked to me voicemail the other day from over there. And he gave me, maybe he's on the TV, telephone. I guess he's on the telephone. He called me. And he gave his shoes away. Went home barefooted.
Amen.
Gave his boots.
Woo.
I mean, that's good, buddy. He got over and he said some fellas made a fella wasn't exactly sober, I don't guess, but he was wanting a pair of shoes, and he got Ricky's shoes, started off with him. Ricky said, "That's my shoes." And then he got them and started and put them on and started leaving. Went down the road, seen that old boy standing down there, and he looked like, and he's in his bare feet, I mean his sock feet. Old Ricky said he couldn't take it, pulled his shoes off, and give them. Hey, now you know what? The difference in the ministry and the church and the ministry that these dudes have got, they'll take your shoes off of you, and this kind of ministry will put shoes on you.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen.
One crowd will take them off, everything you've got, and this outfit that's of God will put shoes on your feet, clothes on your back, and food in your stomach. That's the difference. You say, "I don't like that." Well, who asked you to? Ain't nobody gonna get upset if you don't like it. Just sit there and listen. Now you say, "Preacher, but how do you know that this was a local assembly?" Well, the Lord said over here, I mean, he said over here in chapter 18, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass," in verse 15, "against thee, go and tell him of his faults between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee 2 or more, that in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every word may be established." That'll cut out all the backbite and gossiping. Just when you and Susie get across the fence and talks, you know. And if he neglects to hear them, tell it to the church. What church? Not the one in Rome. You don't think I'm going plumb to Rome to tell somebody messed up with me. I didn't like somebody that they'd done me wrong. I'm going to the church.
Amen.
Brookside.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Take it to the church. And let him hear tell it to the church. And if he neglects to hear the church. Hey, are you listening? If he neglects to hear the church, then count him as a heathen. Now, I'm not trying to get nothing going. I mean this. You say, well, that's in the book of Matthew. Sure it is. You say, that's Jewish. Well, good. That's the kind of body we're in, ain't it?
Amen.
You're in a Jewish body, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Some of me dudes around here said, well, the church didn't get started until Paul come along. Well, great God. Where in the world have you been and where have I been? And then some of them said, well, didn't you start the Pentecost? Jesus said, I'm going to start it. And here he's telling the fella over here in Matthew, before there was any crucifixion or before there was any Pentecost or anything else, he said, you tell the church.
Amen.
And you can't tell something ain't there.
Right.
If there ain't no church, you couldn't tell it. It's what I'm trying to get over to you.
Amen.
To see there is a church. Now, go over here in in Acts, and I'm going to, don't turn there. But you remember that the early church, it talks about them. The church was in the book of Acts. Yeah, sure it was.
Right.
That's when it got empowered. There's a lot of things happened in the book of Acts and the church. And then up in Antioch, there's a church up there. And these churches, God's used them all over, all through, you know. But I mean, it's not important to us. You know what? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look straight at me. Look me in the face if you ain't ashamed of me. And let me tell you what I'm going to say. When they bombed Pearl Harbor, first time I ever heard about Pearl Harbor. See, I didn't get to go to school like some of you. I didn't know nothing. Didn't even know who she was. I really didn't. I didn't know what Pearl Harbor was. Oh, God. And I seen it at the crossroads. I come up from church, and there's some fellas there that didn't go to church, but they was talking about the church. They said they bombed Pearl Harbor. I said, well, what's that? Oh, that's a place. I mean, really, I didn't know. They said, and boy, they're going to, the Japs done it and said, if they get over here, and they're heading this way. And said, if they get over here, they're going to take our Bibles and burn them, and they'll burn our churches. Are you listening? That's right then and there is when I decided I'm going to the army. I mean, I'm going to volunteer to go fight for this country. I'm going to fight for the church and for the Bible. Now, I wasn't fighting to keep my land. I wasn't worried about the land. I can remember that as fresh as if it had been yesterday. I wasn't worrying about the land. I was worrying about my church.
Amen.
I was worrying about the King James Bible.
Amen.
I didn't want nobody to take my Bible, and I still don't. I get madder than the devil when I hear some of these fellas talking about, oh, great God. I mean, all the radio preachers are reading now the NIV. And I went to a funeral the other day, and in their hymn books, they don't believe in music, but in their hymn books, they had the NIV at the bottom of the page of the scriptures in the song, NIV, fooey. Then they had the New King James Version on some of the pages. Now, isn't that pitiful?
Amen.
Great God. And about all the Baptists has turned, they've all gone that way. NIV, NIV. And boy, you ought to read that thing. You ought to, every one of you, they ain't got a tape of Gail Ripplinger. You ought to get one.
Amen.
And you ought to listen to it. And you ought to find out what that outfits are doing in the NIV thing and that New King James Bible. You ought to know.
Amen.
Boy, I mean, it's a sending this country to hell faster than anything else that could come along. You talk about drugs and they're bad. You talk about tobacco. Oh, God, that's pitiful. Isn't it awful that we're allowing that our folks down south are raiding tobacco because it's killing the youngins?
Amen.
And we've got a Bible in the pulpit that's killing
Amen.
The church,
Amen.
Killing the people,
Amen.
Killing the people of God, killing the nation, and sending us to hell.
Amen.
Why don't you wake up?
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Why don't you quit snoozing around? Amen. Thinking, well, there ain't nothing to it. Well, there is a lot to it. Amen. Church is more important than your house, your land, your wife,
yes,
your children,
Amen.
Or anything else. Amen. And this Bible right here is more important than me and you and the President of the United States or anybody else. It's more important than anything that there is. This is the Word of God. This is the old King James Bible that they're going to law. They're going to outlaw it. I mean, they'll outlaw this thing before these little youngins get as old, near as old as I am. In fact, by the time these youngins is grown, I doubt if they'll be allowed to use one of them. Because it's got some words in there, according to that lady on that tape, it's got some words in there that'll put this thing out of business. Because, you know, he uses words in there that sort of makes some folks look funny. And I mean, oh. And she said, and I believe what she said,
Amen.
That NIV and the rest of that outfit is a bunch of queers
Amen.
That wrote it.
Amen.
Ain't that something? All over this country, Bibles in every church with a bunch of homosexuals behind it.
Amen.
And lesbians.
Amen.
And the Catholic Church is upholding all this stuff. They're going to come out with one that'll blow us plumb out of the water. Well, falling this rock, I'm going to build my church. Now, he said over here in the book of Acts somewhere, wasn't it? He said to feed the church. He purchased it. He said to feed the flock because he had purchased it with his blood.
Amen.
You know, it costs something to have a church.
Amen.
It costs more than your tithes.
Amen.
My God, you can't even get them to give that. But Jesus gave his blood. You say, I don't believe in all that stuff. Well, I don't care what you believe. I mean, I was raised when they believed it. Some of them old folks believed in the church is strong. I mean, they'd fight you for it. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, them old preachers, they didn't let down the bar nowhere to let nothing in. Bless God, if you wasn't for it, you're against it. That's what the Bible said. Bible said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathered in, you're scattered abroad.
Amen.
Boy, we're in a mess today.
Amen.
Now, what got me stirred up, I looked at these little children singing a while ago, and I thought, Lord God, we ought to fight for them.
Amen.
If we don't leave nothing but a church and a Bible, that'll be good. That'll be sufficient. If they don't have no food, and if they don't have no clothes, if they've got the Word of God,
Amen.
The real Word of God,
Amen.
And they got a church, where can worship God,
Amen.
Whether it be in a basement somewhere or out yonder in a cave, if they've got a church,
yes,
that'll be worth something.
Amen.
It's worth fighting for.
Amen.
And I'm getting off of the scene. I know that. I've been feeling bad for the last few days. And I know that I ain't got forever to stay here. I'll soon be 76 and it won't be long. If I live to be older, and I'm already old, but it won't be long till I'll be off. But let me tell you one more thing. I mean, when I leave here, if I knew that I had somebody that would really take this thing and take it seriously and give their life for it. Hey, I mean, I want to tell you something. I was willing to put my life on the line for the church and the Bible. I was. I still am.
Amen.
I went overseas and I was willing to die for this church and for the Word of God, for this King James Bible. I was willing to die for it. And I still am. That's the most important things in the world to me.
Amen.
Now, if you're not that way, I'm afraid. I'm afraid the next fella comes on the scene, takes this place, stands where I'm standing. If he's not willing to live for it, die for it, bless God, if he's not willing to stand for it, he'll never make it, and you'll never make it, and your children will never get saved. We're going to have somebody that's got the grit and the guts to say, it don't matter what they say about me, I'm going to stand for the Word of God. I'm going to stand for the church that Jesus purchased with His blood. Now that's what it takes, boys. It don't take some little sissy around here. It takes somebody with grit and guts and backbone and whatever else it takes. I was telling Green and them, when I came out of the convention in 50, however long it's been, back about 46, 7 years ago, I pulled Chinkapin out and I quit supporting a cooperative program over this Bible. Now I'm still in the same gear I was in then. I believe the same things I believed then about the Word of God, about Jesus being the Son of God. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe salvation by grace. I always believed that. Never have changed my thoughts on none of that stuff. I've always believed it. Believed it when it was down there, and I still believe it. Believe everything this book said. I believe it then, I believe it now. And I'll believe it when I get out of here, and I'll be leaving it. I believe it. We're going to be standing on it when we stand before God. This book is so. Now, when I came out and announced that I was against that Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I had a man in Elizabethton, Tennessee, Pastor Oak Street Baptist Church. I'll not call his name because he might still be living and I wouldn't want to hurt him, but he's already hurt, I guess. He told me in Elizabethton on the street, "You're the biggest fool that I've ever met." He said, "The times are going to come when you won't have no place to preach, won't nobody listen to you." And honey, I got folks listening to me all over the United States. In fact, I got folks listening to me in foreign countries on tape. Now, he lied, didn't he? He said, "You won't have nobody to listen to preach to. They won't listen to you." Well, he said, "You're stupid. You're crazy. I'm praying for you." Well, the next time I saw him is in Roanoke, Virginia. He came out of a store out on the sidewalk and run right into me. I said, "Well, what are you doing, brother?" He said, "Well, I'm doing pioneer work in West Virginia. Left a big church in Elizabethton to do pioneer work in West Virginia." Do you know what pioneer work is? That's just about nothing, ain't it? I mean, that's when you ain't got nowhere to go and you have to get out in the woods and find your place. Pioneering. Then I had another dude over there. I asked him what he thought about this Bible. Now, this had been years ago. This is about the time I built the children's home. And I'm standing over there, but I had me a new Cadillac. It's up in the 50s, maybe in the 60s, because I had me a Cadillac. And I didn't steal it, and I didn't bum it. I sold paneling and bought it. Brand new one. First new one. The only new one I ever bought. But I handed me a Cadillac. That dude stood over in Elizabethton at the Biltmore Baptist Church. And I asked him what he thought about this Bible. He said, "Well, I've found 6,000 mistakes myself in it." I said, "You're crazy." He said, "But you don't know the Greek and the Hebrew." I said, "Well, I know the one that runs a restaurant up here, that little Greek." "Oh," he said, "you're being stupid." I said, "No, I ain't. I know the God that made the Greeks. I know the God that made the Hebrews. Now, why would I want to go to some little Hebrew and some little Greek and ask them what God is saying when I know God and I meant Him? And I've been introduced by the Holy Ghost to Him, and the Holy Ghost living inside of me. Why do I have to go ask anybody what He's saying? Ask the Holy Ghost. He's the one who wrote it." So we departed. I didn't have no friendship with him, but a few years later, he come over here with an old car and the fenders are flapping on it. Brought some clothes, used stuff, to the children's home, trying to impress God, I reckon, maybe. And he said, "Whose Cadillac's that?" And I said, "Mine." He said, "How do you afford a Cadillac like that?" I said, "Believe in the King James Bible."
Amen.
Now, I know that's mean and sorry, but I've always been mean and sorry. But I think if a feller, I think he ought to have it put in his face. Anybody tell me he could find 6,000 mistakes in this Bible? I told him, I said, "Go home and look in the mirror and you'll find the mistake, buddy. When you see yourself, that is the mistake. You are the mistake. You're a misfit." Well, I used to go down the streets in Elizabethton and Bristol. I've had folks to walk down the other side of the street, preachers, keep from speaking to me. I was contaminated. You'd thought that I had to sit in mirror each. They wouldn't even shake hands with me, wouldn't even look at me. Cross the street. You think I'm worried about it? No. I'm in the church that Jesus built. I'm saved and I'm satisfied with what God's let me do. And all these years, I've seen God do many things, and he's done some wonderful things, and I'm giving him the glory.
Amen.
I want you to know right now that God's not finished. I mean, he'll still stay with the church that stays with God. He'll stay with the preacher that stays with God. He'll stay with the people that stays with God. And when I'm out of here, I hope you never, never, never have a ball team in this outfit.
Yeah,
I pray the first prayer we ever prayed in this church, I pray God the first one to bring the dish band in here and start the kitchen killer. That's before I found out he wouldn't do it. I was putting on in there. I told him to do it. I've had no kitchens in this church. 45 years without kitchen. Ain't that pretty good, ain't it?
Amen.
Got a dry baptistry back there because I never have baptized except in the pond. I did baptize watching that baptistry, but I dug a hole out there and buried the tank where I could pour the water in and get out of it and baptize, and then we kept it up for a minute. And when I'm gone, he can hit it up and stick it up. It's all in there ready to pond. But it's been there all these years and I've never used it. Now you say you're awful. I know that. Yeah, that's the reason I'm not in some big city church somewhere. I mean, you know. That's the reason I'm down here with a bunch of folks that nobody else won't have.
Thank God.
Amen. I was really, hey, we don't want you folks because you've been contaminated. You've been in the wrong
place. Thank God.
Wrong person.
Thank God. Right. Yeah.
Brother came in here from New York the other day and he said, "What do you think about John 1:9? I thought, "Oh God, somebody sent you." I said, "If you got about an hour, I'll show you what I think of it. I'll read it to you, I'll explain it to you, I'll preach it to you." And I got him all that I knew about it. And he said, "Oh, this time, I've never changed." But thank God, he may not have seen the thing, but he thought he did. But anyhow, you come back to Peter tonight, boy, we had a good meeting with Peter tonight. I don't let the devil know it, but we had a good. I mean, it was good. People were testifying. Man, I mean, it was all around here. There was a lot of people just walking around. We had a good meeting this morning. And it's good to have a good meeting tonight if you had a wonderful going on. But anyhow, Thursday night we'll have prayer meeting, and then Sunday we'll have church, and then Monday we'll have camp meeting. Pray God will be able to be here all the time. My hands still bother me, and my body's weak.
And I just had an operation. We got to have one out here. Oh, this week. I thought I'd just get out the next day and go on and got bed going. But that was it. But anyway, that's what Father, I thank you for the goodness and mercy and battle and kindness. All the good things you have done for us. Everything you have done for us. I appreciate it. Now, Lord, go with us. Let's go back to the next morning. Give us grace for what you know about it.